go?
9:10.
See, I keep saying 19.
Yeah.
This verse is going to be not my friend. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Is that better?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. So where? Why did I pick this out? Because in our life and things such as that, we look at the fear of the Lord as optional. Because we'll say, well, you know, God understands my flaws. He understands my weaknesses. He understands when I make a bad choice. He understands this about me. He understands my vice that I go to rather than going to him. He just understands because God and I, we're buddies. God was never meant to be our buddy. He meant to be our Father. He's meant to be our Lord, and he's meant to be our Savior. First, he was our Father. He's the Father of creation. He created us. And then, Jesus Christ became our Savior. And if we just stop at those two, we actually miss out on a very important thing called the Lord. And when we think of in America, we have a unique view on things because we're one of the few nations that actually say, I have a voice when it comes to things. And the thing about it, in many countries, people don't have a voice. It's the king rule or the whoever who is ever reigning at that time. It's their rule, and that's all that matters. But here in America, we get to vote. We get to vote for this and that and things like that. And if we don't like the person, we can vote them out of the office. But in the kingdom of God, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. Because in the kingdom of heaven, or in kingdom of God, that he's the one that's in control. And there is no suggestions when he tells us to do something. He doesn't ask us nicely, would you like to go to your neighbors and talk to them? No, he'll say, hey, I want you to go talk to them. Maybe right now. And so the thing about it is that, so what does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to honor, respect, and sometimes it's downright saying, hey, if I mess up, I might miss out on the kingdom of God. Because I am an answer to somebody's prayer who's praying. And what if I don't do what God's asked me to do? I miss out on being an answer to somebody's prayer. And then it says, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Or in other words, it's the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And not earthly wisdom, but godly wisdom. When you start fearing God, you will start walking in his wisdom. And guess what? People will be awe of how wise you really are. Because you back up and says, I want to fear God. And then it says, knowledge of the Holy One of God results in good judgment. And knowledge here means in highest sense, including obedience. So knowledge is just not knowing something. How many of you know eating sugar is not good? I think we all probably raise our hands for that. But how many of you still like to eat sugar? Even though we have that knowledge, just because you have knowledge doesn't mean you're smart. And here it goes, knowledge has to include obedience. So if we say fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, including knowledge, including obedience, obedience of the Holy One results. When I obey God, I always get good results. I have good judgment when I obey God. But when I don't obey God, I usually get myself in trouble. I usually find something that will not be good for me. And so a couple of illustrations. One is found in Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. Talks about Cain and Abel. They were birthed. Abel brought an offering of grain. Cain brought an offering, not just of any meat, but the firstborn. See, it does matter what we bring to God. See, the thing about it, that God accepted Abel's gift because it was a firstborn lamb. It was his first fruit. It was his first offerings. But it goes on. It goes, he accepted Abel's first. He accepted his lamb. But with Cain, he just presented him with some food. It wasn't his first. It probably was after he ate some. It doesn't say how far along, but it says, here it goes. When it was time for harvest, Cain just presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. And the thing about it wasn't his first crops. See, like back, like in their spring harvest, the Pentecost is talking about coming in full. But before that, they had 50 days. From the beginning of the harvest to the end of the harvest. And they would bring in their first fruits before the harvest came in. And so the thing about it, with that, God asked him in verse 6, "Why are you so angry?" The Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." You can subdue sin, and it will be servant to you. That's what God's saying here to Cain. He goes, "I will accept you if you're willing to lay your life down, if you're willing to follow me, if you're willing to do the things I ask you to do, you'll be accepted." See, it's so interesting because people say, well, God accepts everyone. Yes, he does. He receives everyone. But at the same time, the only way you get to heaven is through Jesus. By doing the right thing, by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or Savior and Lord. So, because he didn't really fear God and his expectations of what God wanted out of his life, he goes, well, it doesn't matter what I give to God. It doesn't matter if I show up or not. It doesn't matter what my phrases are. It doesn't matter if I obey God, what he really wants. Maybe God told Cain, it doesn't tell the ins and outs of everything. Maybe God told Cain, "Hey, I want your first fruits." We don't know. But I think there's more dialogue going on here than just this was written down. But it was written down so we can grab a hold of it. That be careful when you offer something to God of our attitudes. That we will be accepted. But if you refuse to do what is right, the idea goes back. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Then Acts 5, 1 through 11, there's a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. The church is growing. They sold some land. And they were going to give it all to God for the kingdom of God. They were going to give it all. And all of a sudden, they saw how much came in. Whew. We could use some of this to pay off some of our bills, to pay for some food. The kids are getting hungry. Why don't we keep a little bit on our side? So Ananias went in, gave an offering, just like Cain. Just a little bit of what God did. And when he did that, they asked him, hey, can you imagine your first service in church? And this guy comes in with his offering. Hey, look how much I'm giving. We don't know exactly how it went. And they asked him, is this all of the land, all the money from the land? Oh, yeah. Boom. Dead on the spot. Would that put a little fear in you? I think I might have to go check my trousers. And then they take his body out, and here comes his wife. She doesn't know he's dead. And all of a sudden she comes in and says, hey, how y'all doing? Good. Hey, the money you guys gave, is that all that was that you sold that property for? Oh, yeah, that was it. And they told her, the people who carried your dead husband out is here to carry your dead body out. And boom. I don't know about you. I don't know if I want to go back to that church. Two people die in the same service? But because they did not fear God, they took their obligation lightly. They took what they say, they promised, what they wanted to say, what they wanted to do. And then in Matthew 10:26, this is Jesus talking and following. I want to pull out a couple of things that he's basically saying, hey, don't worry about what people can do to your body. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Because in verse 26, it says, do not be afraid of those who threaten you. Fear me. Don't worry about those who think they can threaten you with whatever. Well, but obey God. And God will see you through. And then, verse 28, it says, do not be afraid of those who want to kill your body. This is just a bunch of atoms. They cannot touch your soul. When people say, hey, my soul is sold to the devil, that's a lie. He has no right to it. God already paid the price for that soul. Now it's up to them to walk away from that price. And so it says they cannot touch the soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. See, only God can do that. And then verse 32, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. How awesome is that? If you love your father or mother, in verse 37, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, or whatever, you don't fear God. That's what the direction Jesus is going there. Because when we love things of this world more than we love God, when we love our devices, no matter what our go-to is, if it's not Jesus, if it's not the Holy Spirit, if it's not God, it's the wrong thing you're running to. I've been fasting just under a week. This is the seventh day. And the thing about it started like 2 days before I fasted. The things I'm talking about, God started showing me. And some scriptures I got today, some I got from the other day. But the thing about it is that God goes to me. One of the first times I was, I don't remember what day it was. It could have been Friday or Saturday. He goes, you don't fear me. No, I don't. because I like my sin too much. Think about that. We like our sin so much that we don't fear God. And whether or not doing the right choices. See, I have a knowledge of God. But I don't just want a knowledge of God. I want a heart transformation of God. And when we get that heart transformation of God, that's when fear will rise up in us and say, you know something? That is God, ungodly. I'm staying away from that. I've been reading a book by Leonard Ravenhill. If you want a book that will challenge you, the chapters are only about 6 pages long, about the average. I encourage you to get this one. Why Revival Tarries. It was written in 1954. So before most of you were born. And I'm like, wow. And so I want to encourage you as we pray tonight, as we worship tonight, as we go after God tonight. Fear is not a bad thing. If you say, hey, if you see a cliff and you keep driving and you have no fear, that's not a good thing. You need to hit the brakes and stop that automobile and turn around. Say, I'm fearful. If I can't make that jump. When I was in high school, junior high, everybody had to try out, who was on track team, had to try out for every event. All right, there's things called hurdles. I got these short little legs and a little bit wider body. I just ran up to it. I'm like, nope, not doing it, coach. He goes, you got to try. I go, I did. He goes, well, you're not running hurdles now. I go, good. I can't do hurdles anyways. They're higher than me. I mean, you see some of those hurdles, they're like this tall, high hurdles. I'm like, dude, how can you jump so high and keep running? And so, I just want to encourage us as we go into 2026 that the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. All right. I think we're good with that.